been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Oh, Brandon, man, this team.
That good already, huh?
Yes, that good already.
All right, well, let's talk about this. You know, it's actually a good thing that my vacation ran a little bit later than I thought this week. So we're doing a show on a Thursday, kind of not normal for us. But today, news breaks. Haloti Ngata, one of the mainstays of the defense, one of the faces of the franchise, is suspended for 4 games for performance-enhancing drugs. It turned out he was taking Adderall. It was not approved by the league. What's your take on this? Because I got to say, of all the people on this team, I was shocked to see Haloti Ngata, his name, and the fact that he'd be taking PEDs.
Yeah, Brandon, I don't even know where to start. When I heard the news, I really couldn't believe it myself. It's unfortunate. You wouldn't expect this from a Haloti Ngata caliber player, especially why? I think that's the number one question on all of our minds is why. Why did he? I mean, it's the same drug that Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles got busted on too. So, and again, you know, they caught PEDs. You know, they say that it enhances your focus and your stamina. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they classify it as illegal. He knows better. It's a big blow to our run stopping defense because we're tops in the league right there. And going to the last weeks of the season, man, if right now we're a 33% chance of making the playoffs because we let it slip, and it's going to be even worse now with one of our best players and run stoppers out for the remainder of the year. And if we make the playoffs, he doesn't come back till the playoffs, man. Just idiot, man. You got to think. You just got to think.
Yeah, let me ask you this. With the Chris Davis suspension, it was the same drug. It was Adderall. But they said that if he would have had it approved by, like, the MLB doctors, like, with a doctor's note that he had to take it, then he would have been allowed, but he didn't do the proper paperwork. Does the NFL say that you could take it in certain circumstances, or is it completely outlawed in the league?
I would say completely outlawed. I mean, and you can see it even in the major leagues. It's a thing that's not taken lightly, and I think it's one of those drugs that you can't take, whether it's illegal or illegal to obtain, whether it's all natural, whether it's not. You just can't take it, bottom line.
Yeah, really, really dumb move by Haloti. And this is a team this year, I mean, has gone through every single person, you know, personnel change that you could think of, you know, starting off the season with the Ray Rice situation, Haloti Ngata, you know, doing this kind of stuff. This team has never, ever looked the way it was supposed to at the beginning of the season, the way the coaches wanted this team to look, who was where, who was playing what. This team has never been a part of that. So this is losing Haloti Ngata this late in the season and being such a key to the defense. This is a monumental blow to the season. And I don't want to say it, but you got to think that given the fact that it's already Thursday, what is this team going to do by Sunday to kind of save this game up against Miami in Miami without Haloti Ngata there? I mean, we know how weak the secondary is, and we know that, you know, the key I always thought to the game was, you know, getting to the quarterback as quickly as possible. Without Haloti there, that's going to really put a damper on this defense's chances of getting to the quarterback or stopping the run.
Absolutely, man. It hurts both of the ball's chances, not only on defense, and you're right. You know, it takes a mentally blow on the offense because it's just everything piles on. You know, they let the game slip away. Not against the trouble, and it's just, where do you go from here? Again, this team has been through adversity. My opinion, I'm not happy about it. When I first heard, I'm like, really? And it's just very unfortunate. And it just adds on, you know, from the Ray Rice scandal all the way on through to, you know, with the injuries plagued this year to the team. We don't know what team shows up 1 week. We look good 1 week, we look bad the next. And with Holiday not being in trouble, it's just another thing to add on through the season. That it's just, this is just a marked season, man. Whether we make the playoffs, whether we don't, it's tough to say, man. I mean, if you look at the glass half full, with, you know, the playoffs on the horizon, they do have the easiest schedule winning percentage wise. But with even with that, they still got to play the games. I mean, the Dolphins could easily be as Jaguars kind of set us at home. The Texans, yes, they have the quarterback. I mean, it is what it is. And without Haluti there, there's a big void to fill. And he's one of our biggest, best run stoppers, our bright stars. And him being out's a huge blow to the defense. And, you know, I really don't know right now. I'm still scrambling who's going to fill that big void.
It's going to be rough. Now let's go back. Let's talk about the last two games since we did miss last week. Like you said, you don't know who's going to show up week to week. This is a perfect example of Jekyll and Hyde. The Ravens were in New Orleans, scene of Super Bowl 47. It was a Monday night game. They looked awesome up against the Saints. I mean, this team came out, you know, guns a-blazing, doing everything right. Justin Forsett had another amazing game. Everybody looked on point. And then this past Sunday happens with the Chargers in Baltimore, and they played half a game. After that halftime, they pretty much, you know, decided to take their foot off the pedal and kind of put it on cruise control, and whatever happens, happens. This team in the last 2 weeks played a game and a half, and they let this one slip through their fingers because they could have beaten the Chargers. I fully believe that. They were looking great in that first half. They looked great up against the Saints, and I had faith. I'm like, wow, these guys could actually go pretty far in the playoffs. But if they're going to let games like that, because that proves that you're not going to be a playoff contender, you're not going to be a Super Bowl contender if you let a team like the Chargers hang around in the second half where they can come back and come and get you, because obviously your game plan was not working. The offense fell flat. They couldn't get a touchdown to save their lives. I mean, this was a very poor choice of a time to just kind of relax it on a Sunday, because up against the Chargers, they looked like they weren't ready to finish a game.
Dude, I don't even know where to start, man. I mean, you're right. They went from New Orleans, where, yes, they gave up over 400 yards total offense as a whole. Yes, the pick six was the difference, but if you look at it there, too, they played phenomenal, you know, on the road as well. Joe Flacco made the throws. He made an incredible throw to Steve Smith. The defense played, you know, great, even though they gave up those yardages and won the running game. Irrespective, it just was great to see. And they were a great, refreshing win, and you thought they were going to carry that momentum on Sunday against the lowly Chargers. And it was just that type of game where I could pick this game apart so many levels, Brandon. It's not even funny. And sitting there watching it, dude, the guys we were with, we predicted the final outcome. 2 minutes and 32 seconds left in the game. I never leave a game early. But I could have predicted it. We could have been in the car on the highway, and we would have heard the same difference. And I sat there watching it unfold, and I just started laughing. I'm like, really? Again, you know, I don't even know where to start. It starts with the performance up front. Here's the thing: execution. You have 7 trips in the red zone, and only 3 of them touchdowns. They convert one of those field goals into touchdowns, the game's over. Brandon, when they kick that second field goal to go up 16-7. I told everybody around me, I said, mark my words, that field goal will come back to haunt us. And it did. And it did very true, man. It just wasn't, again, you know, you got to put 7 on there. They had it on a turnover. They had it in the red zone again and couldn't produce. They had it inside the 5 again, couldn't produce. They did that in Indianapolis earlier. They did it in a few other games. And when the offense can't capitalize and you end up with, you know, you're kicking 22-yard field goals, you're not an elite football team. I don't care if you're NFC, AFC, you're an NFL team and you're kicking field goals inside the 10-yard line, you're not elite. You got to go for it there. I saw some media members calling out Harbaugh, but not really his – like I said, I don't know if Harbaugh is the head coach. You know, the offensive coordinator is Kubiak. What are they calling there? I would go for it, because here's the thing. You leave the Chargers with the whole field. Our defense is playing great. You know they're going to be one-dimensional. It means you have to make Phillip Rivers go all the way down the field, 95, 98 yards. Why not go for it there? Why not go for the jugular and go for the 7? Red zone execution was poor. I thought that the secondary played really poor. I mean, we held them to 64 total yards rushing, and then they just lit us up in the air. 7 for 7 for third down in the first half, Brandon, is unacceptable. Every time, you know, it was funny. Everybody's like standing up on third down, and I sat down, and there was like, I sit down. I'm like, this is going to be a first down. And I was just joking, but it happened. And, it, you know, not to make a mockery of our team, used to, you know, on third down, it gets ruckus and crazy, and you get them off the field. Now it's just, it's a joke. And getting them off the field, and they were 8 for 8 on third down conversions, extended drives, couldn't get them off the field. And at the end of the game, here's the thing, 3rd and 4, Justin Forsett, 180 yards on Monday night. He had 106 yards this past Sunday. Why not run it 3 straight times? You can't get 4 yards to Justin Forsett, run it wide, screen pass, get the playmaker. Like they always said, the right offense ran through Jamal Lewis back in the day. It ran through Ray Rice, you know, and it's almost like this. You know, the quarterback and running back are key. If the quarterback's on point, you know, you're going to win football games at the running back. But the running game's key. The running game's on. We're going to win football games. And why not run it there? Taking it 3rd and 4. Flacco had Torrey Smith injured in the fourth quarter. He had Marlon Brown down. He don't have Dennis Pitta. What weapons? C. Smith had a bad game. And Jacoby Jones is a receiver. I mean, you're putting too much pressure on the receivers and Flacco to make a huge, crucial 3rd and 4 play. Why not run the football? First down virtually ends the game there. I was very unhappy with that when I saw him doing these little dink and dunk play actions. That's not Raven football. And it ultimately lost us the game, and it was just embarrassing, man. You had 21 points up, give up in the fourth quarter. Where do I even start there? You had 2 10-point leads, especially at home. That's unacceptable, man.
It was a crazy thing to see, and you brought up, you know, Marlon Brown, he got concussed, and you never want to see that, but the second that he hit the ground, I was like, well, he's got a concussion. You saw his head bounce off the ground. Of course he's going to have a concussion, but you know me, all right? You know how big of a fan I am of Marlon Brown. I've been a backer of his ever since last season, his rookie season. He was undrafted. He was an invite. He played every single game, and this season I've been so disappointed with the fact that he's been on the sidelines so much and not on the field. And then this game happens on Sunday, and I see Joe and him connecting. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, finally, finally, Kubiak, finally, he gets it. He gets that Marlon Brown is a good guy. He gets that he's supposed to be out there. He gets that Joe and him work well together. I said it last year, and I still stick by it. Joe and Marlon Brown, they could be like Joe and Anquan Boldin again. I see some Boldin-esque moves from Marlon Brown. He's only in his second year, so of course he's not going to be as good as Anquan Boldin. He's got to take time to get there, but he definitely that's perfect too. He's a young guy. You see, he's kind of got these skills, like a guy that you just let go. He's cheaper, so teach him the Raven system. Teach him, you know, what he's supposed to do at this point, because he could be playing so much more. And then finally, this game happens. He's making connections with Joe, and then boom, here it comes. He's got a concussion. I read on Twitter today that he did practice on the 4th today, on Thursday, at least for a little bit. So hopefully we'll see him on Sunday. But I don't know if you got to look, like, Steve Smith definitely had a bad game.
Horrible game.
He was dropping balls like crazy. I mean, not a good game for him. Torrey Smith, he looked all right. He looked pretty good during this game. But it makes me think, like, if they're misusing a guy like Marlon Brown, does Gary Kubiak, the offensive coordinator, have the best lookout for this offensive line? Because, like I said, you know, before, as we're doing the bye week, the offensive line was my biggest worry because they weren't keeping Joe on his feet. Is this the best thing to do? Are they adjusting with the kind of type of teams they are playing? I don't know what the problem is right now. It sucks that Marlon Brown got that concussion at that time, and I'm hoping that we see him a little bit on Sunday. But who knows what this team is going to do? Because honestly, there's no way that you and I can predict what's going to happen like we always do, because you don't know who's going to show up on Sunday. And that's the thing that really gets me frustrated with this team, is that you're passionate about this team, you love the Ravens, but who's going to show up on Sunday? Is it going to be the Ravens you know can do well and beat these teams, or is it going to be the Ravens who just kind of like take half a game off and get outplayed because they're tired at the end?
And that's a great point, man. You have to ask a hard question: is who are they? Who is this team? And you know, 1 week they look like a playoff team, and they're in a discussion. Next week, they're laughing. They're laughing stock. It's just we can't win. And they put themselves almost out of playoff contention. Like I said, if we break down the schedules, the Chargers, even though they end the tiebreaker and they beat us, they play the Broncos. They play the Patriots this Sunday. They play the Patriots, Broncos, Niners, and Chiefs. Okay,
that's
they
rough.
Can go two. Yeah, exactly, Brandon. You can go 2-2 or 1-3. We have the Dolphins, which should be winnable. I mean, they looked anemic against the Jets and then barely beat them. It's because the Jets were so horrible. The Dolphins came back. We have the Dolphins, the Jaguars at home, the Texans on the road. Now, Texans on the road. Yes, they have a great defense, or a good defense, I should say. But here's the thing. They have the quarterback. Our defense should be okay. Now, with not out, who knows? And then we have the Browns at home. That could easily be spelled 3-1 or 4-0 easily. Again, with this team, you never know. But the Ravens are on the table. They're still 11-5 football team. That makes the playoffs. If 11-5 don't make the playoffs in AFC, I don't know who. The Bengals play 3 out of 4 divisional games. The Bengals play Pittsburgh twice and Cleveland once more. So, and it's like I said, we're right there. We're all three tied up at 7-5. You know, the Browns play the Colts. You know, the Steelers play the Bengals, I think, this Sunday. So, just again, you know, you're actually kind of rooting for us to win and the Steelers to win. Honestly, I hate to say that. I want to vomit right now, but the Steelers beat the Bengals and we win. We're 8-5. Steelers 8-5, and the Bengals are 7-4. Then, because the Bengals can't keep winning, so we, you know, there it is. So we're all right there. So it's kind of like there's the parity again, you know, and it just shows you how we go down to beat the Saints. Saints beat the Pittsburgh Steelers past Sunday. The Bengals barely beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a crazy ending. And the Browns lost. So even, and it was funny because I said this before we had the 10-point, actually when we had the 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, Brandon, when the Bengals, I thought they were going to lose. And the guy behind us was tracking on his phone. And I was like, dude, if we hold this lead and the Bengals lose, we could be in first place by the end of this game. And I was all getting all fired up. And then it just all crumbled, man. And that shows you that if you don't finish, you can go from first to worst real quick. And again, it was a heartbreaking loss. It was very deflating. We were on the car ride scratching our heads on the way home trying to pick it apart. What happened? Like I said, there's a combination of not executing. You can't be kicking field goals in the red zone. And it's simple as that. Field goals, you know, there's a 4-point difference. You take two of those field goals away and put touchdowns in. We should have won this game. We should have scored at least 45 points. It's embarrassing when you score 33 points and lose, even though it was 1 point. Granted, loss is a loss. We scored 33. We should have easily scored 45 points, my friend, easily. It's just embarrassing, man. It's just, I don't want to start. It's just, again, it's just, you know, you love them. You know, I always said I would still support this team in the 0-16. I hate hearing that the fans are always, you know, selling the tickets, and I keep seeing post after post of game tickets being sold. And I don't know if it's due to the lack of the team's, you know, inability to keep a hunt in the playoff race, or if it's just people who are just in the market to make money and sell tickets. But no, I'm not one to sell. You know, I'm privileged to have season tickets, you know, and I'm privileged and thankful for that in this season of holiday giving. And I'm privileged, and I would still support them, and I would still go to games even if they're 0-16 and bad as the Oakland Raiders, and I would suck it up because you know what? Our time has come. And obviously our counterparts in the Baltimore Orioles have shown us that with losing seasons, and if you stick with them, you know, they can win. And the Ravens, they're 1 win away from, again, a non-losing season percentage-wise at a 500 or better record since 2007. That's 1 out of 4 games to do that. Guys, I think we're a little spoiled here. So we got to be very proud of our Baltimore Ravens, and we've had a championship in the meantime in the last 2 years. So, you know, remember, you know, not even 2 years ago removed from our championship, we remember how it was. And it can be done, but we're not totally out of it yet. 33% chance could increase. It's a must win. I think Sunday is going to be a playoff game. I'm going to be walking on pins and needles and eggshells all morning, my game face on. I'm ready to do battle, my friend. We got to take it to the Dolphins.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this was just last little bit on this past Sunday's game. It was just a bad game all around. You know, we were picking on Steve Smith, but like Kamar Aiken, he did not have a good game in any way. Justin Forsett, I mean, he was doing his thing. He still looked good. Joe Flacco, for the most part, looked all right. The defense, you know, Danny Goyer and the rest of the secondary looked like Danny Goyer and the rest of the secondary this past year. So nothing really to talk about there.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Let's move on to this Sunday. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins game. First and foremost, I mean, we kind of already touched on it already, but Haloti Ngata not being there and the next guy stepping up. What does this do for this Ravens defense that is already hurting with a bad secondary? What are they going to do? Because even though the Miami quarterback doesn't really like to throw the long ball, he can, you know, get through the shorts and the mediums. They're more of a running team without Haloti Ngata there. I got to imagine like that hole is going to open up. So they're going to be running, or at least trying to run, as much as possible.
Well, let's break it up a bit before I get to all that, Brandon. You bring up very good points. I got a trivia question for you. What percent of chance does Ngata have playing on Sunday? Not a chance. we might have to change our tagline, my friend. I just had to throw that in there because this is comical, man. It is what it is. But anyway, you're right. It's going to – starting on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to monitor the next few days on who's going to take Haloti's place. Who's going to be thrown in now? And I know Brandon Williams has had a stellar year. Again, our run-stopping defense has been great. We've had, I think, 22 straight games without a 100-yard rusher, and it's still going. One of the current longest active streaks in the NFL. Brandon, I'm very excited to see where that can go. Can we stop the run? I mean, Lamar Miller, they don't really scare me on the offensive side of the football. Is talking about the Dolphins as far as running the football. I think we can still key on and make Tannehill try to beat us. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Wallace and that Landry is going to give us fits as well. They got some two good receivers. It's hard to really say how this game's going to flow because the Dolphins remind me of mirrored images like the Ravens. They don't hold the same records. The Dolphins can beat the Chargers. Look, and this is again the parity. The Chargers lost to the Dolphins 37-0. They score 34 points against us and win by 1 point. The Dolphins looked anemic against the Jets on Monday Night Football and barely won that game. It's because the Jets can't score any points. So with that being said, this game could be a battle of ugliness or a battle of who wants it more. And this game's going to show who wants it more. And obviously it's a must win for each team. I think the loser is out completely in the playoff picture. The elimination game winner is very much alive with over 50% chance of making the playoffs for the Ravens. It's one more stop on the way to four more wins in a row. Right now it's a playoff game. I think every Sunday from in December is going to be a playoff game. And with the AFC race very tight, it's going to be interesting football, not only for the Ravens, but the whole NFL as a whole, the AFC. The NFC races are very tight as well. And with that being said, I think Flacco's got a key one. I think Steve Smith has got to step up and be a better game. He's got to have a better game too. Flacco's got to manage that well. Better run and pass ratio. I think we're balanced this Sunday. It's just play calling and situational calls. Got to execute, guys. And that's all I can say, man. I mean, it's a simple game plan. It's a must win, and they got to put together, my friend. And just see how these injuries. I mean, I know Marlon Brown was day to day. Torrey Smith should be back. I mean, nothing's really main game threatening injuries where they're not going to start. So I really can't wait to see how we can execute on offense. And really see how the secondary can bounce back because it was god awful, man.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens. This is definitely going to be this is a very different offense than it was up against the Chargers. So I'm interested to see what happens. But I have to wonder and I have to think that due to Haloti not being there, they're going to be changing up their game plan a little bit to kind of pick on where whoever's going to be taking not as spot. So I'm intrigued to see what these guys are going to do. The biggest thing on offense, though, is that, you know, Joe's got to connect with these receivers. Forsett's got to get yardage. And the biggest thing that you brought up in the last couple weeks is being in the red zone and being able to capitalize when you're in the red zone, because Joe and the offense has had a terrible time getting into the end zone. You know, as they get into 10 yards or even shorter than that, they seem to not be able to get into that end zone for those 7 points or 6 points. And that's what I'm really concerned about right now, the offense, what they're going to do, because like we just saw, games can easily slip away if the offense isn't paying off and getting the most points that they can.
Absolutely, man. And that's going to be the biggest battle and the biggest test. And I can agree with you more there. And I'm really excited to see how that's going to play out on Sunday. And one of the key matchups I'm going to watch is how the Dolphins defense keys on our offense, because they know our running attack. They know Forsett's going to be running the ball. So I really want to see Joe Flacco make the plays and see how this offense mixes it in there, and if there's any bag of tricks there. But it just can't be vanilla. You can't be plain. And the defense has to find their wits about them. They have to find their A game now, because Tannehill, if he starts throwing all over the place, the secondary, dude, we're going to sit here and play him what if, man, and we're going to be 7-6 real quick, and we're going to be like, really? And I'm really not too excited to even think about that right now. My focus is it's a must-win, Brandon, and then game plan can't really get much simpler than that. I mean, like Harb's always preached all week, you know, they're fine, the concerns are fine. What's going wrong is fixable. You know, we coach them up all week. It is, but it's the same repeated mistakes. Matt Elam's atrocious. You can't cover.
Yeah.
It's just he's letting people run by. And we've been talking all week. How about this on the defense? With these finesse guys, I mean, the Antonio Gaines tore us up. Why not jam the guys? You don't see that in defense a lot, where you're allowed to touch them within the first 5 yards. Why not throw their timing off and jam them? You don't really need to put your hands in the face and get illegal hands in the face called or hold these guys off the line, but just nudge them with your shoulder. Yeah, they might run by you, but you throw their timing off. And the quarterback's thinking in his clock mentally, 1, 2, 3, step and throw, and the receiver's not there, and the pressure gets to him. It is what it is, but and the penalties. You know, speaking of that, I wanted to talk about that too. 14 penalties for 98 yards. You give them a whole football field, and I think 2 or 3 of those gave them first downs on third down. And Dimmerville can't be lining up all sides. You got to know where you're at, bud. I mean, I know a couple of them were sacks, got taken away. A little very anxious getting to Phillip Rivers, and it was one play where it was a third down. Phillip Rivers went back to throw. He looked to his left, and the receiver streaking down the field, he wouldn't even turn around to his route, and the ball was already out hitting the ground because the pressure was there. You know, you don't need to blitz every down because these guys are not machines, but well-timed blitzes on third down, you need to be bringing the heat, and they know that. You need to be bringing the heat instead of stopping doing this stupid prevent defense and letting them sit back there and pick them apart. They're sitting back in the zone, catching balls all day long, laughing, having a good time, and I wasn't having a good time in the stands watching it. It was pitiful, man. Pease, I really thought he was going to be fired this week. I thought, you know, with the Super Bowl year and we hired Cam, we need to shake up. And everybody was calling for Pease to change the schemes up because it just – with his play calling, I don't like it at all, man. I mean, I've seen teenagers call better defensive schemes than Madden and better pressures. I mean, it's just – it is what it is, man. I'm calling them out right now. I'm a little bit upset and frustrated, and when the team's not performing well, you kind of look at that, and it starts with coaching. I mean, I don't know if it starts out with Harbs, but, you know, with these coordinators, you got to come up with a better game plan, man, because it's not getting the cut job done.
Yeah, and you brought up Matt Elam. I want to bring up Courtney Upshaw as well. Both those guys just don't look good. They don't look like, no. First-round draft picks or our first draft picks of what they should be doing. And they're just not getting the job done. So last little bit about this game on Sunday. Since it is in Miami, do you think that the cool or the warm weather or anything will affect them? Because I think it was last year or the year before. They've been to Miami in December before. So I just got to wonder if the heat or anything is going to affect them in a positive or a negative way.
I don't think so, man. I mean, we're used to it in early September in Baltimore, the 90-degree heat. I don't think it's going to affect either way. I think the Ravens are more prepared for it. They've trained for it in the heat as well, in the July and August heat in Baltimore. We know how it is here. The old school training camps, scaling it down a bit, we know. I don't think it's going to have a factor at all. They know it's at stake. They know the weather. Nah, I mean, unless it was raining and sloppy, I don't foresee it being a big factor. I mean, just go out and play football in the Florida sunshine and really have a good time doing it. And I don't care if they get it done. Just get the win. But no, I don't think the factor is going to be weather. The factor is going to be the secondary, and can they stop Ryan Tannehill? As sad as that sounds, that's the concern.
I'm intrigued to see what happens on Sunday, because like we've been saying all show, you really don't know who's going to show up. I'm hoping offensively Joe can connect
this
with
team Marlon. This team is like a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump would say. You might get one round one, you might get one tall one, you might get a chewy one, you might get a crunchy one, you might get a gritty one. I don't know.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite in a box of chocolate? What do you like?
Dude, them chocolate truffles, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
And the chocolate, the cherries. Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to go pick up me a box of chocolates, man. Thanks. I'm going to have to eat one for our sake and be like, this one's the secondary. This is the crunchy one.
All right, man. Well, I think that might be it for the show. Did we miss anything, besides our latest dose of Adderall?
The Adderall dose. But see, now I can't really say not a chance, because it's kind of like, I don't know if we should change that, this change in structure. I mean, I've had my dose of Adderall. I'm ready to go, but I'm not going to get suspended or fined. Not a chance on that one. It's unfortunate, man. Hopefully Helody's, apologetic. Haven't heard from him yet. We probably won't. I don't know if we will.
Yeah, he already put something out that he felt bad. He let his team down. He let his family down.
Yeah, I did see something inkling. I just wasn't sure if it was an official statement. I've been reading social media and, going off and that, but it's kind of like, I skimmed over it, but I didn't really want to read it, because I'm kind of like, it happened. Okay. He got busted. Big deal. Move on. He's not playing. Let's go. I mean, we got to play, got to play a game. There's really not much. It's not the Ray Ray scandal where I really want to hear what his apology was and the whole scandal. That's bigger. This is Adderall. I mean, Chris Davis, we went through it. I mean, it's a drug. It's a legal drug. Got caught, suspended, is what it is. Slap on the wrist, 4 games. Yeah, but I did skim over that, and he was apologetic and so forth. But, I really would like to see him, at least, that kind of physical presence, just sincerely, and see, how he feels, and, get back to it. And hopefully we'll see him come playoffs, so we make it that far. But given the spirit of things, we'll keep it going and say not a chance this week, man. Just let's go win a football game, shall we?
Yeah, that sounds good. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation, you can reach Josh or I. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. So go over to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show gets released, we will keep you up to date on when that is. And we'll also be posting up, fun articles that we like, anything that kind of mentions the Ravens. Go over to brandocash.com. It's your home for all things Brando Cash Entertainment. Get information about this show, What the Puck, any other stuff going on from Brando Cash Entertainment. You will find that there. Also, facebook.com/BrandoCash, so you can get information and see cool photos and videos that we've put out. Always a good time to do that. We do this show completely for free. It is on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Baltimore Sports Report, great place. Check that out. They do a lot of great blogs on their website, a lot of covering the Ravens, Orioles, all that good stuff. TuneIn Radio, another great app you should check out. You can listen to our show, plus local sports stations from around Baltimore and D.C. if you're interested in that as well. So make sure you check that out. But since it is the holiday season, we're not asking you guys to give us any sort of present. All we want is for you guys to spread the word about The Call. That's the big thing for us, okay? So if you want to put a smile on our faces this holiday season, make sure you tell people online that you are a Ravens fan, you listen to The Call, and they should too. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web, let people know about The Call. Leave us an iTunes review, and it'll help us grow even bigger and bigger than we already have this year. And I can't thank you guys enough for listening to us already throughout this year. We've had some great numbers this season. So thankful for you guys doing that. But here we go. The Ravens are heading down to Miami up against the Dolphins. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And again, hope everybody had a safe and wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. It's been a long bye week. It's been a long 2.5 weeks of Ravens football, ups and downs, highs and lows. But here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The stage is set. Sun Life Stadium, Miami, Florida, South Florida. If anybody's going to South Beach this weekend, please party it up Purple Friday style this weekend and show your Ravens pride to us on Sunday. Really can't wait to get after it. With that being said, we know what's at stake here. The team, you know, they let one slip away. But you can't let that define the season, can we? Let's not do that. Let's make a statement to the AFC and show them that an 8-5 record will start to be good enough to get us in the playoffs, and we're going to start building from there. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just believe. The saying is always believe in Baltimore, and we're going to believe. And amen to that, man. My friends, let's go. Ravens, Dolphins, it's going to be a hard-fought war. Both teams need this win. It is a nice regular season semi-playoff game, if you would like to call it that. And I really can't wait to get it popping. So let's go, Ravens. Let's drown these Dolphins, and let's fly high out of Miami with a win on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.